My beloved people, I will start off with a quotation. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, with thy whole soul, with thy whole strength, with thy whole mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, I'm recording this morning for whatever reason. I'm Father Leonard, and I don't know which annual homecoming this is anymore, but I've had so many annual homecomings here that I've lost track. At any rate, I certainly wish to tell you that after my own household, which is the monastery, this place, this church, you are the dearest to me. And I accept assignment only to this church. We accept no other assignments to any place. So you know very well that we love you, I love you, and I love all of you. And I wish for you only the very best, always and in every occasion. I had prepared certain thoughts for this day, and I was in good shape until yesterday afternoon, and all of my thoughts vanished. And today I start off only talking about what the Holy Ghost is going to tell me to say. Of myself, I have nothing in my head at the moment. I'm concerned about many things. Conditions in the world today, I need not review them to you, because I know very well that you are more familiar with them than I. And every time I come here and stand before you, it seems that we have to review that conditions are getting worse and worse and worse. And now we are putting schedule on things. And we know that things are really, something is going to happen. And we are all more or less bracing ourselves for that. We don't know exactly what, which is going to happen to us all. And so it is time, I think, that we put all things aside, whatever they may be. Put all things aside and put first things first. And prepare ourselves for whatever is in store for us. The only thing that matters is the salvation of our immortal souls, my immortal soul, your immortal souls, you and you and you and you and you. Nothing else matters. Our young people have put this aside, as you certainly well know. And for many of our young people, they have decided to side up with Lucifer. And they would rather be with Lucifer than with the God that we worship. And we know this. As for yourselves, you know very well you have brothers and sisters and uncles and aunts and mothers and fathers and sons and daughters who do not agree with what you're doing, and who do not agree with the reason that you come here. In this particular church, located in this particular geographical spot, they do not agree with you, they ridicule you. And they say all kinds of things about you that are certainly out of place and inappropriate. Yet, as we look around and as we hear and as we read the Holy Gospel that we read this morning, to what degree are you and I bound to love our God with our whole heart, in our whole mind, in our whole body, in our whole soul? And how much is left for you and for me? Nothing. And what part of nothing do you and I not understand? And it goes a little farther. That we can grasp. The other part is difficult. And we must love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And we all know how much we love ourselves, and it is perfectly legitimate to love ourselves. And to that extent, must we love our neighbor. And in the process, we must give worship to God in the way that God has designed, in the way that God has determined. And as you know, we're supposed to know, that what takes place in this little tiny area right here is all that matters. This tiny spot can be here. It can be in a glorious cathedral, the largest and the most glorious in the world. And it can be in a barn. And all of it remains a cathedral or a barn or here or wherever until one moment when the priest says, "This is my body." And then all of it, whether it is barn or palace or cathedral or this church or the monastery in Alabama or wherever, is all the same. And the priest, by his extraordinary power, and it is extraordinary, has the ability to command God. The priest can command God. The priest can command God to come down and to dwell in a piece of bread. And my beloved people, this is the stumbling block. This is the fishbone that is crosswise in the throats of most people today, of most Catholics today. Well, we'll go further. Of most priests today. Dare I go further still? Please permit me. Most bishops today. All of this is on tape. I'll prove it to you. I hope it works. Machinery always disturbs me. I push the wrong buttons all the time. Because I know what I am saying. Stumbling block today is what happens on that spot right there. When in the name of ecumenism, this right right here has degenerated into nothing more in some places as janitorial problems, because as it is distributed, some of it falls on the floor. And it has been said from the pulpit, and it has been written in bulletins, people do not, I forget now exactly the wording, people, please do not drop your Eucharist on the floor. It creates janitorial problems. Yes, the older I get, the more excited I become, and the more irate I become. Because when you see this kind of stuff, you wonder, how long, O Lord, how long is it going to take for you to strike? We have made a serious mistake over these years of referring to this as the Latin Mass. If any of you, my beloved people, and you know I love you, if any of you come here for the purpose of hearing a Latin Mass, because it is in Latin, we even have a magazine called the Latin Mass Magazine, you've come here for all the wrong reasons. And if that's the case, please leave. Nobody left. Praise be God. You came here because you believe. And that's all that matters. And that's the way it has to remain. Put it into your minds and leave it there that there is not a bishop today to be found whose wish and will and desire and purpose is to protect and preserve what takes place on your little holy altar. Please do not think this possible. No one of these is determined. I know, as you know, we're not associated. As I know, you're not associated. But there have been attempts to capture me, figuratively speaking, of course. Though I would not be astounded if it was practically speaking. And I have the literature. I would be pardoned, and I would be accepted, and I would be brought into the fold. Incidentally, you don't belong to the fold, neither do I, neither do the monks. But in order to belong to the fold, I would have to sign on the dotted line saying that I accept the new order and the new way of worship, the new Mass. My beloved people, I cannot do that, and you cannot either. You cannot accept black and white at the same time. In our little booklet that we put out, the recent one, I put in a little parable. I'll make it brief. This very worthy schoolmaster, very, very prominent and very acceptable and very respected schoolmaster, was asked by one of his admirers once, who said, "Worthy schoolmaster, is the world flat or round?" And the worthy schoolmaster said, "You teach it both ways. Mass and the other Mass are poles apart." Now, I'm not saying that the other Mass cannot be valid. It can. I said it myself for years before I did some studying. You cannot these acts of worship, if indeed you can call one of them an act of worship, when you see everything from clowns to nudity to everything else as they're offering worship to God. Of course God made the nude body. We all know that. But it is hardly appropriate to bring the nude body and use it as an act of worship at his holy altar. It's time that we got serious with what we are doing. And furthermore, in case you may not know, did you know that where those places, the so-called Latin Mass, you know, I'm convinced that with some people, if you read the comics in Latin, it would make them happy. Some people have to even brush their teeth in Latin. It makes them happy. You did not come here to hear Latin. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not speaking of the vernacular. Keep it in context. That's why it's on tape. You did not come here to hear Latin. You are not antique collectors, neither am I. You did not come here to listen to Latin as you would go to listen to an opera. You came here to worship God. And you came here because that right there is real. What you may not know is this. Did you know that in those places where the so-called Latin Mass is permitted by so-called traditional priests who can say Mass there, did you know, according to the law that has been written in individual spots, this is not a universal law. Each bishop writes his own book today. Private interpretation, my dear people, is as much in the so-called Catholic Church today as it is in any Protestant church from the day one. Did you know that the traditional priest saying the traditional Mass is not permitted to take hosts out of the tabernacle to distribute to the people? Did you know that? And that the hosts that are distributed to the people have to be consecrated, if you can use that word, consecrated at that particular Mass. Now, the problem. You know very well that if I were to ask you to hold your hands up. But you remember when Father Quinn had his anniversary celebration? I was a master of ceremonies, and Father Quinn had the Mass, and we asked the people hold their hands up and for the ushers to count. Well, the ushers made a horrible mistake. There was something like about 200 hosts left over. Now, this happens any place, anytime, anywhere, by anybody. There are hosts left over. These hosts are placed in the tabernacle. Now, when the tabernacle becomes full, do you have a clue, since we can't use the host, do you have a clue as to what happens to those hosts? If somebody has a clue, please stand up and tell me. This is being done by some very, very, very worthy schoolmasters who teach that the world is both flat and round at the same time. Beloved people, it is time for us to put childish affairs away. I have here a crucifix in my hands. I want all of you to look at this. Not me. Look at this. of this. What's on that altar has been ordered. And unless we look at this and accept this in its fullest implication, all of us are lost. Look at the crucifix. Keep your eyes glued on this. There have been problems in this church. And Father Quinn, who has been here for 20 years, his heart has been cut in two. And to the extent that I love you, my heart has also been cut in two. It is time, my beloved people, that we look at this and say, what next, O Lord? What next? Let us ask this crucified Savior, bring peace into our hearts. And there's some of you that are missing that I recall seeing in previous times. Go after them. Bring them back to their house, to their home. This is your home. You and you and you and you. And no other place will do. This is where it all is. And if we fail to do that, then we are hitting a nail with a sledgehammer. We must love our neighbor as we love ourselves. That is the order. And if perhaps it should be that this or that or the other has been said or done or misrepresented or misstated or missed this or missed that or missed the other thing, look at this. Look at this. Let not the persecuted feel persecuted. And if I may say this erroneously, I'm sure, let not the persecutors persecute. It is all right here. And whatever, this is your house. Keep it so. Keep it strong. Keep it entire. You are your family. You belong to no other. And He is your Lord. This is your Lord. And nothing else will do. Love each other. Understand each other. Grasp each other's hurt. And be healed. Be healed. It doesn't matter who's right and who's wrong. It does matter who's nailed on this cross. It does matter who is on that altar. Be healed, my brothers and sisters. Be healed. Love one another. I fear for Father Quinn. Father Quinn, bless his heart, is stubborn. It may not always be understood. He has his own series of difficulties, but he's wonderful. And more than anything, he has been a good priest. criticize him for that. You will have Father Quinn much longer. Only God knows. You must pray that whoever comes to stand before you is another priest of God. A priest who comprehends the truth, who speaks the truth, and who lives the truth. Doesn't matter if he's stubborn or hard to get along with, or whatever else you may find to talk about, but a priest of God, and one who will not adjust himself to whatever thought each one wants to hear. There's only one truth. Two plus two equals four. In this church, in Alabama, in India, in Dog Patch, any place at all, it doesn't equal two and two here, four, two and two, 17 across the street, or two and two, whatever we vote upon it to be. Voting does not establish truth. Truth is here, whether you like it or whether I like it or not. This is the truth. And this is where we have to go. Every single solitary one of us. And we have to live this, my beloved people. To wander from this is disaster. To wander from this is uncertainty. It's wild. It is diabolical. I want every one of you, if it's in my power to speak thusly, I want every one of you to carry this. And if you carry this in your hearts and minds and bodies, I will love my neighbor as I love myself. And until I carry this, I will not be able to say that I love my God with my whole heart, with my whole mind, with my whole being, with my whole soul. This is the key. I love you, and you know it. And I want all of us, no matter, to be brothers and sisters. And brothers and sisters, you know, I don't know much about brothers and sisters because everyone of mine are dead and gone. And brothers and sisters sometimes can get into some awful scraps, can't they? And they black each other's eyes sometimes, don't they? But they still remain brothers and sisters. And in these days and times, my beloved people, how many out there accept this? How many? Well, each one of you carry this. Put it into your hearts. Be strong. Be beautiful. Be children of God. And you know what? Then you will have peace. And no matter what is in the horizon, no matter what kind of clouds, black as tar, as pitch, I don't care how black the clouds. I don't care how loud the thunder. I don't care how threatening the lightning. If you have this in your heart, let the thunder come. And you will have peace. I may or may not see you again, I don't know. And all I can hope for is that we will meet again, someplace, somehow, somewhere. This is all that matters. And because of this comes that. That's all that matters. I am nothing. Understand that? Do you comprehend that? Do you accept that? You